We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
And welcome in episode 108 of Hogan Johns. We're here in Nashville after the Bears' third preseason game that mostly went well, but they had plenty of injuries too today, so it wasn't all great.
You lost your number one wide receiver. Mike Glennon was better. Mitch Trubisky, I thought, was solid again. But you lost your number one wide receiver in Cam Meredith, who I felt, I don't know about you, Adam, I felt like he was on the verge of a pretty good year.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, he at least is the most reliable receiver on this team. So it's a big blow no matter what. And that's why I think the top story is. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read our post-game reaction at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and subscribe, rate, review the podcast, all on iTunes. You can find it on TuneIn and the WGN Radio app. Yeah, we'll get to the quarterbacks, but I do think the Cam Meredith situation trumps that today because this was already your weakest positional group, in my opinion. And I think the Bears are probably sitting here hoping Kevin White can emerge as the go-to guy by the time, you know, the season really gets going, or at least midway or by the end of the year. I don't know. But right now, going into week one, Cam Meredith was the number one guy. He was Mike Glennon's favorite target. He was the guy that had the most chemistry with him. And that was a brutal knee injury to the point where, as we sit here tonight, I think a clean tear of the ACL is a best case scenario. They've already said it's an ACL. You got to hope it's not more than that, though, or otherwise 2018 could be in jeopardy.
Yeah, it didn't look good. You don't like to see the cart, but you don't really like to see the air cast put on there. He was on crutches after the game. He had a huge brace on his right leg, or left leg, I should say. It didn't look pretty. The replays, you don't want to see it. It could be worse more than an ACL. You can't have that. You're looking at a long recovery if that happens. But just for a guy who's from St. Joe's, went undrafted, was a quarterback in college from Illinois State, was such a great story. He was such a great story to see this happen to him after his breakout year last year. He was going to have a good season this year. He was the Bears' number one. He probably had a 1,000-yard season coming his way. This is a devastating blow for him, and it's a bad point in his career for him. So it's really, really hurtful for the Bears.
Yeah, and he's also, because he was undrafted, he's becoming a restricted free agent at the end of this year too. So, you know, a big season, he would have been in line for a huge extension, and it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out too. You got into it. I mean, it's hard to find a better story on the team. It's hard to find a more well-liked player in that locker room. And you could tell, even though the Bears came out of Tennessee, which, by the way, is a good Titans team, they look like they belong, and then some. I mean, they really, from start to finish, controlled this football game. You could still tell in the locker room afterwards that as happy as they were with the result, the Cam Meredith thing stung.
It was a really somber mood in a winning locker room, especially amongst the offensive players. Guys coming up and giving Cam Meredith hugs. I mean, this was a winning locker room. I know it's the preseason. You don't want to get too carried away from it. But the Bears played very well against a pretty good Titans team. The defense was exceptional. Mike Glennon was better. Mitch Trubisky was at it again. But to see guys like Cody Whitehair come up to Cam Meredith in the locker room, give him a hug. Guys like Kronos Grisou come up and give him a hug. A real somber feel, a real down feel in the Bears locker room after this win.
So let's talk about what this means. I talked to Kevin White after the game, and you know, he basically said it. He's going to have to step up. There's really no choice now. I think why, from my perspective, this just makes things even harder on Kevin White. Because at least before, when they play the Falcons in a couple weeks, they got to pick between the two wide receivers. Now he is by far the guy that they're for sure game planning, you know, to shut down at the wide receiver position. And that's just going to make things even harder as he tries to continue to gain confidence and make plays.
As we saw today, Kendall Wright definitely has a place on this team. Great third down option. I think he still has a lot left in him, you know, being a former first-round pick and people questioning where he is at in his career, whether he was done or not. I think it's clear that he has a role on this team, and that role is really never in doubt. But I think the door opens up for Victor Cruz, maybe Tanner Gentry, Titus Davis. All of these guys have an opportunity to make this 53-man roster. To me, though, I feel like this is you'll look in free agency, guys who are waived, you look at the waiver wire, all that, but I think one of the strengths on your team is already the tight end, and you're already considering keeping four. Maybe you keep five just for the early going till you find another wide receiver. You have guys who can make plays there. You have some proven pass catchers. Maybe you just keep that position a strength and not weaken it when receiver is already weakened by Cam Meredith's loss.
Yeah, and they're going to have to run the football. That's the bottom line. They're going to run the ball. And, by the way, Tariq Cohen, you barely saw him today. I don't know if they're just trying to hide him. I didn't know of any kind of injury with him or anything, but maybe they're just trying to hide him in this game. They had Jordan Howard back, Jeremy Langford back, get those guys some work. But, yeah, they're going to have to find creative ways to open up this offense without any devastatingly scary wide receivers. And – as we kind of transition to the quarterback talk, Mike Glennon probably supplanted his spot as at least the week one starter today with a much better performance. You kind of saw how, with some game planning, it made a difference, at least in the way that they could execute some methodical drives downfield with the running game. But I think it's pretty obvious, too, that there's still not going to be much of a home run threat when you combine Glennon being on the field with the lack of wide receivers right now. They're going to have to find other ways. This isn't going to be a home run type team unless they're breaking off huge runs, because I don't think it's going to come through the passing game.
Yeah, I was impressed with Mike Glennon's performance. I mean, he did lead a game-opening 96-yard drive. I mean, that's good. He was great on third down. He converted three of them on that drive. But he's got to be better more. There are still throws he missed. Look, that old excuse, we weren't on the same page. You can't have that in the regular season. It seems like he has that a lot this preseason. He's got to find consistency if he's going to be the Bear Sutter. Because let me tell you one thing. This conversation of Trubisky, it's not going to go going away. I almost feel like the Bears want it to continue, in a sense, to really spur on Mike Glennon to be better. I mean, John Fox made no excuses about that today. I mean, he said they want to make competition so they can thrive on it. That's what the Bears did by giving Trubisky the first team snaps. Yes, he did earn it, but it seemed to motivate Glennon a little bit, even though I don't know why he wouldn't be motivated since the day the kid was drafted. So a lot going on here with Mike Glennon. Again, in short, I'm impressed, but I want to be impressed more.
Doesn't sound like there's going to be any changes to the depth chart. John Fox, here, let's play this. It was an interesting answer from John Fox. Here's the start of his press conference today after the game and kind of addressing the quarterback situation.
You know, I think, again, we're just going to keep evaluating. Obviously, you know, we haven't changed our depth chart for some time now. I don't anticipate it'll happen. But, you know, like I said, I've been pleased with the room. I was even excited to watch Connor Shaw come in. I think he was 2 out of 3, looked kind of sharp. You know, we didn't play Mark this week. He'll get some action next week. Mitchell, I thought, continued to progress, and, you know, we were very happy with the way Mike responded and, you know, as far as a real game plan and what he did, I thought he played very well.
So, look, I wouldn't call that a ringing endorsement of Mike Glennon. He started off, the question was, will there be any changes with the quarterbacks? Or did Mike Glennon do enough to cement his spot as a starter? And Fox said, well, we'll continue to evaluate, but he doesn't foresee any changes to the depth chart. So that, I'm guessing Glennon's going to start week one, but it's still a big difference from what this was a few weeks ago when it was Mike Glennon's our starter.
Yeah. You just can't give a straight answer on this. They've opened up the they started throwing around the evaluation word. Everything's under evaluation now. Sometimes I feel like it's just him going to his stock answers because that's what he does. He's got his foxes, his fox speak, and we're all left here to decipher it and translate it. But sometimes, like last week, he opened the door for the competition, and then the competition really happened.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a new fox to get to know. He's being more forthright with some things, and he's still being foxy with many other things.
In this case, I wonder if the foxy games aren't just really with the media, but also with Glennon. Because I think here's what we learned this week. The competition helped Mike Glennon. I think it pushed him a little bit. I think the game planning did too. I think the fact that they spent the whole week scouting the Titans and installing some stuff to get ready helped. But I also think that, you know, the point we were making last week was, what did this guy do to earn just an unquestioned starting job? He still needs to be pushed. And I think that's what we saw this week. And I think he responded well. So I think, I wonder if Fox sort of reluctantly and not strongly saying that Glenn is a starter will continue to, you know, maybe the doubt helps to as this goes. It's certainly going to fuel the conversation. But I think at this point, the Bears have realized the conversation's there, and it's going to be there. And part of that is because of how well Mitch Trubisky continues to play. And I got to tell you, I was impressed with his performance today, other than that there was that one series where he clearly was struggling with just running the offense, which I think is still going to be the biggest thing that's, you know, holding him back from being the starter. You saw that he had to call a timeout. Then he had to delay a game on 4th and 2, which is pretty much a cardinal sin for a quarterback. But right before we got started here, Adam, I saw the NFL Twitter account posted every play that Trubisky, or every throw Trubisky completed today. And it was impressive. Like, it was even more. I didn't have a great view of the replay monitor in the press box today, so I was kind of going off the scoreboard more, what they were showing up there. They weren't the greatest replays. And seeing it all back, he was really good. I continue to be impressed with how he goes through his progressions. Once the ball, everything is pretty smooth once the ball is in his hand. He reads defense as well. He goes through his progressions quickly. And I'll give you a perfect example of like the contrast, sort of what I'm seeing between Glennon and Trubisky when they're in the pocket. There was a screen early in the game where Glennon, who by the way is 6'8", tried to dump it off, and the ball got swatted down. He had to just get it over to one defender. That defender's coming free by design. The quarterback knows that guy's coming. That's why it's a screen. They're leaving that guy unblocked. You got to get the ball over him. And even though he's 6'8", he couldn't get the ball over him. Okay? Later in the game, similar play, not exactly the same screen, but guy comes free right in Trubisky's face. He calmly had it timed perfectly, dumped it off, and it was a big gain for the Bears. There's just little differences like that. I think Glennon's obviously more polished, you know, in the huddle, all those things we continue to talk about, running the offense. But once that ball is snapped, I don't think there's any question who is more comfortable and also more talented.
Yeah, the knockdowns of Mike Glennon's passes are, we've seen this since Bourbonnais.
Yeah.
He's a basketball player out there. I get, like, some of his throws have, like, a downward velocity. Like and it's got, they're going straight down, and I get things are going to go down because he is 6'8", but, you know, his short passes seem to have that type of angle to him. It's just, it's frustrating. I know what you're talking about with the screenplay. There's like a smoothness to him, and you got to have like a touch throw where it goes over the defender because the defender is meant to be there, right? He's meant to be uncovered, at least in most instances, and it's surprising and almost frustrating, I think, at this point, if you're the Bears. Surprising for us because he's 6'8", but frustrating because you've practiced these plays so many times and the repetition doesn't seem to be working. Again, I thought Mike Glennon was okay today. He wasn't great. His first drive, I would say he was pretty darn good. But since then, I mean, he had like a 58 passer rating in the second quarter, missed some throws. That failed screenplay was one of those throws. Things just aren't, they're not all there quite yet, and he's your week one starter.
Yeah, you feel more comfortable with Trubisky out there making plays than you do Glennon. That's just kind of the reality of it. And here, I want to play this for you too. Trubisky had the really nice 45-yard touchdown pass to Tanner Gentry, who, by the way, big play for him, considering the events of Cam Meredith going down today and him needing to show that what he's been doing in practice translates to the games. And Trubisky gave him a great ball, but he made the play. It wasn't an easy catch, and he made it going into the end zone for a nice touchdown. So it was a big play for Tanner Gentry. But listen to Mitch Trubisky talk about that play.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Tanner came in motion, got the look we wanted. Started up front. O-line did a great job in protection and just ID'd the defense, had the coverage we wanted, and Tanner beat his man. And like I said, O-line and the running backs did a great job giving me protection, and I just put it where he could get it, and he made a great play on the ball.
So did you hear it there? He identified the defense, and then he saw it develop right away. Corner was playing off, and now let's be fair. The starters weren't on the field anymore for the Titans. But I talked to Tanner Gentry about this play too, and he said the question was, how did you get open? Well, I just ran. And that's a big playability. He has the ability to run by guys. And once he got a step, Trubisky knew that the safety could not get over in time. And he threw a perfect ball. And Gentry had the speed. It was basically from that point, from Trubisky identifying the defense, exactly what he had, and knowing that Gentry, because at the point, if you look at the replay, the point where he let go of the ball, Gentry had not beat his man yet. He was just trusting him to be there, considering the matchup, and it was a perfect ball.
Look, Jay Cutler has an amazingly strong arm. Does Mitch Trubisky have that? No, but he has the anticipation. He anticipates things so well, and that was, albeit long throws like this, the anticipation, you got to have it. You got to trust the guy, get open, but you know, plays over the middle, you see it. What struck me is when he releases that ball, the other people in the press box, a lot of Titans people, Titans media members, you know, people who work for the stadium, you heard very loud, oh, like, whoa. And yes, it was a beautifully thrown ball. I mean, we've seen that in Bourbonnais. That's just another example of the touch, the downfield touch, and the downplay abilities that Mitch Trubisky has. And that's a struggling point from Mike Glennon. Completing those passes, those down-the-field throws, are a struggle for him. And Kevin White had a third-down reception over the middle today. I thought it was a good play, but you go back and watch it, the ball placement from Mike Glennon needs to be better. If it is better, you're talking about a bigger gain, something bigger than just a third-down conversion and a quick tackle. So the placement of Trubisky's passes, the anticipation of coverage, the anticipation of where guys are going to be, it's exceptional. You still see it. The glimpses are there. You know, Trubisky time may not be ready for week one, but the signs are there. It's going to come eventually. I believe in that.
Yeah, I do too. And here's kind of what I think my big takeaway from today is. This was the scenario that Ryan Pace wanted. Okay, Glennon did probably just enough today to hold off Trubisky for week one. Okay. But Trubisky's coming. And that's the other thing that Bears fans, just be happy about this. I don't know that his preseason could have gone any better, other than maybe playing better in practices. But as Allen Iverson told us, practice, it's about the games, okay? I mean, and he has proven in three preseason games, especially in the first one, I think, and then today here in Nashville, that he can be a performer in the games when it matters, and it's gone really well. His stats, if you just take all of his stats, I don't have them in front of me right now, but just go look at his stats for the whole preseason. They're very impressive, kind of like Drew Brees-esque for one game. It's like 38 of 50 something for 350 yards and three touchdowns and no interceptions. Like, that would be a great Drew Brees game in New Orleans, right? And just chucking down. That's not how the Bears are going to play, but over the course of these preseason games, it's added up pretty well. So I think you just got to, first and foremost, be happy about what the number two overall draft pick has shown you, because it could be a lot worse, and we've seen a lot worse in the history of these picks in the NFL early. And now, I'm going to say trust the Bears. There's too much at stake here, especially when you see how well this defense is playing, special teams. They're going to play the best quarterback when he's ready, and they're going to know when that is. And I think it's going to be during the season.
Here's my column for tomorrow. Lisa, if you listen to this before you read it, I think the Bears could be a pretty good team. Good running game. I think a very good defense. Even special teams, they're showing signs of life. I mean, you're the biggest critic of the Bears special teams. They're starting to make plays. Their talent level has improved because the whole roster's talent level has improved. The speed is definitely very, very evident. The quarterback, yes, we know it's the difference maker, but in terms of getting this pretty good team into something a lot better, something a little bit more formidable, something more balanced offensively, it's going to be the quarterback this year. And right now your starter is Mike Glennon, but eventually that guy who's going to take this Bears team to the next level is going to be Mitch Trubisky. It's just a matter of time. It really is. I think he's going to play this year. I'm completely convinced of that. Before, several weeks ago, I wasn't. I think he'll be ready in the Bears' minds at some point this year.
Well, because we didn't know how good he would be on the field. And he's showing that he can be very, very good. And that talent-wise, there's no question he's the better quarterback. So it's just a matter of him being ready, being able to run the offense smoothly and not have those situations like he had today where, you know, they had to call timeout. And then he nearly threw an interception, and which, by the way, that was – I thought – when he let go of that ball, I thought it was going to be a perfect throw, and I forget which safety that was, but made a great play on the ball. So it gives the defense some credit on that one too. But then he had the delay game on fourth down, which, you know, can't happen. By the way, I thought they should have just gone for it on fourth and seven too, because it's a preseason game. Why not test him and see if he could do that? That situation is going to rise at some point, but that's not a big deal, I guess.
You had Bradley Southwell to evaluate a long snapper, Adam. With all due respect, he was actually pretty good. Guy hasn't snapped in an NFL game before, and he's done it like in practices with his former teams, has not done it with the Bears. Jeff Rogers just happened to know it, came in, did well. I know I'm making light of the situation, but look, I'm sure they had other reasons to not go for it on 4th and 7. It's the preseason, my man. Let's not get too crazy.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about that one. Speaking of injuries, yeah, as we wrap up here, Patrick Scales, long snapper, torn ACL, most likely. So they're going to find a new long snapper. Talk to Bradley Soule after the game. Apparently this is something he did in Arizona and Seattle, running with twos and doing some long snapping. So he did a good job today. So then, of course, I asked him, you know, well, is this something you can do, you know, continue to do this season? But he said they're probably going to bring somebody in, and you think they would. But obviously, you know, having to switch your long snapper out. But, of course, remember last year the Bears did that. Was that last year or 2 years ago where they had Aaron Brewer in and they cut one and then they changed their mind and brought Patrick Scales back?
So, look, I can already hear the stock answers. It takes a few times to get the whole form, everything down, the whole process down. Process is the word, and we're fine. But, yeah, Leonard Floyd, foot, I think he might be fine. Prince Amukamara, first defensive snap of the game, tweaked his ankle. He left the locker room on crutches and in a walking boot. Not good for a guy who just had a strained hamstring. They need him. Although, your guy Kyle Fuller, much better.
Yeah, playing okay. Sherrick McManus also had a hamstring injury today. You hope that's not a big deal. I saw him in the locker room, though. So it didn't seem to be too big. He had that nice tackle, though, at the four-yard line that set up the Bears' block punt. Roy Robertson-Harris made another play in that regard you like to see. So, I would almost call him a lock on this roster at this point with how he's played the preseason and the amount of effort the Bears have put into him changing positions. So, a good sign there. Who else am I forgetting from the injuries? Oh, Dan Skuda, concussion. But obviously, Cam Meredith, Patrick Scales are your big ones. You mentioned Prince Amukamara. That looked concerning for week one. And considering he's dealing with a hamstring, too, that guy looked pretty good in camp, veteran presence, but the injuries are piling up for him already.
Kyle Fuller's making this team. He is 100% making this team. I think he was good again today. Look, the Bears' defense was exceptional. They missed Amukamara. They want him back there. But that front seven was after Marcus Mariota. The secondary was solid other than that one long 3rd and 31 conversion where Quinton Demps and Eddie Jackson decided not to tackle. It's okay. It's just the preseason. But I think all in all, my biggest takeaway, other than the quarterbacks this preseason, is that this defense is going to be pretty good.
I agree. Like, maybe top 10 NFL, maybe even better good. It's been pretty dominant. They've only given up one touchdown. The starters have only given up one touchdown in the preseason through three games. So very impressive there.
And that was after Mike Glennon's pick in the red zone by Tyrann Mathieu, right?
I think you're right. So, yeah, very and Mike Glennon made sure to point that out today on his own. In the middle of he was answering a question about something else and was like, I got to talk about the defense. So he recognizes it. And that's how you get away with Mike Glennon. Okay, here's the thing. Mike Glennon can start against the Falcons. That's fine as long as he doesn't turn the ball over. For that kind of quarterback, that's going to be the key. I think the Bears, this defense is good enough. I don't know if they can beat the Falcons. They're going to, I mean, that's the thing. They're going to have really tough four games. But I'll say this. I think you can go with this, what I've seen from the defense. If the running game's working and Mike Glennon doesn't turn the ball over, I think the Bears can somehow manage to go 2-2 in the first 4 weeks. I'm saying don't rule that out, and then they're sitting pretty good if that's the case.
People forget how unpredictable the NFL can be. Sure, the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, but that does not mean they're going to go to the Super Bowl again. Heck, they could be rusty early on when the Seahawks won it, or when they lost it not too long ago. They struggled to get going in the early part of the season. So teams hit their strides at different points. Injuries happen. Freakish injuries happen all the time. We saw it today with Cam Meredith. So just kind of believe in how unpredictable the NFL could be. And the Bears, they got some talent. Now, are they a playoff team? I don't know. I think it's going to take a lot of answers at the quarterback position. But they have players who are very capable of doing a lot of good things this year, I believe.
I tweeted it out a couple weeks ago, and now I don't have it in front of me. But I looked up what the previous Super Bowl losers have done in week one. And it's something like, I think it is. I'll find this and I'll get it back out there. But it's something like the Super Bowl loser going on the road is like 1-5. The last six Super Bowl losers to start the season on the road are 1-5. So don't rule it out. Okay, there's a little bit of optimism for you. How about that as we wrap up here? You going to be able to get home tonight?
We'll see. We'll see. I'm kind of on tilt here. I think I might just take my originally very delayed late flight. Thanks a lot, Southwest, for whatever reason. But all good, all good.
So you should have stayed in Nashville.
Should have stayed United.
Well, we got to get out of here. But overall, I don't know. I think it's fair to put some stock in the third preseason game, especially in the first half. In the last 3 years, this has looked not just bad for the Bears, ugly. Blown out in Seattle, not competitive in Cincinnati, just bad against the Chiefs last year. For them to play like they did today against a good Tennessee Titans team, an up-and-coming Tennessee Titans team, one that kicked their butt at Soldier Field last year in the regular season, I think it was a good sign. Certainly, you know, this could have gone worse today, and you come out of it and you feel pretty good other than Cam Meredith going down.
Yeah, that's, again, I want to drive home this point. He was going to have a great year. He's a great story. Local kid, St. Joe's, had a really good camp, had a really good preseason, even though Mike Glennon and him struggled to prove it in games. In practices, I thought he's been good. Bears' best receiver since camp opened, since OTAs began. He was your number one. This is a very tough loss. That's why that locker room felt hurt after this win today.
And that's pretty much exactly what I wrote after this game, which you can read on WGNRadio.com/Bears. Check Johnsy's stuff out. ChicagoSunTimes.com. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. It's a short week. Game on Thursday. Fox did say Mark Sanchez is going to play Thursday. So you can look forward to that. I'm not looking forward to it, but you can.
Come on. Yeah. Whatever.
We'll get out of here. By the way, thanks to those who have filled out that survey. The responses have been incredible. Like, just the amount of people that have wanted to fill it out. I haven't even really put it out on social media, and we've a ton of people have reached out. So appreciate you doing that. If you're still interested, DM me on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. I'll get you that link. And we appreciate your input. We'll talk more about this later in the week on our longer show. I want to go through some of the responses. It's created an unintentional – it's unintentional podcast material out of it. So it's fun. It's all good stuff, and we appreciate you doing that and helping us out. In the meantime, we'll be here later in the week. Subscribe on iTunes. And by the way, we're thinking about everybody in Houston. Usually when this kind of stuff happens, WGN Radio goes above and beyond to help out and get support. Seeing as how it's still Sunday right now, I don't know what our plans are, but I'll make sure to pass along anything to you guys, and hopefully here our listeners of the podcast can help, and we certainly will too, thinking about everybody in Houston with the hurricane, because it looks really, really bad down there. So we'll continue to monitor that, and we'll keep you updated on what you can do, if anything, to help out. For now, we'll talk to you later in the week. It's Bears-Browns, the most exciting game of the year.